Kia ora and good morning. We've got Phil, we've got Carl, and we've got John here from Shehead. Welcome.
Hey.
Hey, Johnny.
How's it going? Enormous news announced this morning. You guys are putting together your final tour ever for Shehead.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Bittersweet, but also awesome.
Bittersweet, but sort of exciting because we want to make sure that we go out with a bang. So we're looking through our whole catalogue and going, what are the important bits? And we're going to do things which we've never done before, which is like changing set lists per, you know, at each show. And because we're usually so nerdy about like keeping the same set list, eh?
Yeah.
This is going to be like totally different, you know?
Yeah, a bunch of shows stretching from the 29th of December. You guys kick off a new Plymouth at Rock the Bowl, and then kind of go all over the country. With the last Auckland show being at Spark Arena on the 14th of March, and then hometown show to wrap things up at Homegrown the following night.
Yeah.
What are the next couple of nights, or sorry, months, going to look like for you guys? What's in store then for Shehead as you prepare for this?
A lot of rehearsal.
Yeah.
A lot of rehearsal. Yeah.
Yes, a lot of rehearsing. Yeah. Don't stuff it up, Phil.
I mean, I guess the last time I saw you guys was playing at Save the Bee at the Town Hall last year. And one thing that really struck me was, despite you guys all living in different parts of the world and playing probably an album, a lot of the songs you hadn't played for a long time,
30 years,
was how incredibly tight and phenomenally good that show was. Like, how much rehearsal went into that to get that quality performance?
That was 3-4. We got to go and rehearse at Roundhead, which was really a nice place to rehearse. But I mean, it was 3 days, like 13-hour days, really, weren't they?
It was quite
hard work.
I mean, I think about after the first 2 or 3 days of my technical and mental difficulties, we had about another 2 or 3 days to run through it. Yeah, but it's funny. I mean, I was. Just when we were going through things like the Happy Meal, last song on a first album, I actually still remembered.
Yeah, it's all in there. You've just got to like find where it is, you know.
Yeah.
Especially that first record. I mean, I know for me, because that was, I joined the band only like a year or so earlier from there, and so it was hyper significant to me, those songs. And I just remember, I mean, it was probably the most practiced album that I ever did, where I just probably played those songs so much
to
make sure I didn't fuck up when I.
Yeah.
But also we had Jazz Common like grilling us, making us play songs over and over again. So it was totally in our brains, you know.
In between red wines.
Yeah, he was, well, not us.
No.
But him.
That guy.
So for this last tour, are you guys going to pretty much learn everything that you've ever recorded? Is that... No?
That might be a bit of a tall ask.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many songs? How many of
them? I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's too much.
Too much.
We're basically gone.
There are going to be parameters.
We can't love them all.
Yeah, no. I think, you know, there will be, like, some deep cuts in there for sure, but I do think we've sort of made a list of all the bangers, or the ones that we think are bangers off each record.
Yes.
And we're going to have to whittle that down because we've only got sort of, an hour and a half or something. So it's got to be... But we're gonna that was the thing. It's like we're definitely gonna be changing sets out on each of the shows. So we are gonna have to learn quite a bit of music, which is choice, or relearn it. It's still in there, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, reflecting back on 88 to 2025, do you guys have any standout memories from the band, or the shared experiences on the road, or just maybe people you've encountered, or greatest live musical experiences?
Oh,
I think I remember, was it the Roskilde Festival was pretty, that was probably like the biggest festival that we were a part of over in Denmark. It's like 120,000 tickets sold or something. 30,000 people work on the site, and I think we'd never been to anything that was that huge, you know. It was like a small city, and there was it wasn't just like six stages, it was like so many stages. And we got to see the stage that we played on the night before. We saw Spiritualized and Verve. The Verve.
That's right, yeah.
Playing stuff off Northern Soul before they'd released it.
Yeah, that was wicked.
And there was just so much to see. I mean, there was, on the main stage, there was like Bob Dylan, Van Halen. I think we saw, I think The Cure was there.
We saw Sinead, didn't we? Was yeah, Sinead there?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Oasis, I mean, it was just...
Oh, they, yeah, that's the first time we saw Oasis, yeah.
It was just huge.
That was mental.
It was choice. Yeah, that was pretty mean.
So I guess being part of those big things.
Yeah. And all the big day outs that we did. Yep. Yeah, I mean,
big
just,
day out was awesome, yeah.
Just, I mean, it was bucket list moments just yes. all throughout our career and getting, yeah, Europe and States and all around, around New Zealand and, you know, across the ditch many, many times.
I reckon AC/DC at Western Springs in front of 60,000 people was pretty wicked.
I've forgot about that.
Yeah, I was so nervous. My eyeballs were shaking
inside my head. What about Black Sabbath? I never thought I'd ever see Black Sabbath live because I just thought I'd just grew up in the wrong era. But, yeah, we got that tour through Australia and New Zealand. And
how many shows did we play with them?
Eight
shows.
And it was, but that was super special.
That was super wicked, special. Man.
Molly, wicked, holy moly. I saw them on maybe their last show that they played down here. I'd never seen them, and it was one of those things. I was like, oh, man, really? Can Aussie still do it? And, oh, my God. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And they're, I don't know how old he was, but I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, this is like... You can understand why they're, like, legendary.
Without a doubt. We sort of saw him, like, backstage before we saw him on stage, and he was sort of shuffling around like someone who's pretty damaged. But as soon as he was on stage, he was like a monster.
But
you know?
He was always working out in his room. He had a little, like a bike.
Gym.
Yeah, he had a little gym thing going on. And he was, like, constantly just training.
Aussie's gym.
Yeah, Aussie's gym.
Yeah.
But also, like, Tony Iommi would turn up, like, a good hour and a bit. He'd always come and watch us play.
Yes.
And Geezer Butler as well, which was wicked. And Geezer actually got me to sign a couple of Sheehard CDs for his nephew.
Yeah, goodness.
And, which was crazy, because, like, that dude wrote the lyrics to, like, War Pigs, man. It's like, what? So it was a bit of a buzz, man. It was a bit of, like, dream come true, because like, I remember having Black Sabbath live Evil, even though that was Dio.
Yeah.
But... Even when I was like, you know, when I had my Paul Young mullet and I was at high school. So, yeah, it was a bit of a dream come true.
I mean, my mum had Paranoid on vinyl when I was growing up too, and that was, I mean, it was Black Sabbath were there since I could read.
Yes.
What about getting to meet Joe Strummer on the Big Day Out tour of Australia? Like, Joe Strummer's was basically on tour on the Big Day Out, and they put his backstage room next to ours. Yeah. So we basically just hung out with him and his family for the whole thing.
That's one of my big regrets, is going to the Big Day Out and making the call to go and see someone else and not seeing Joe Strummer. He closed it out, eh? He closed it out.
Well, he was with the, what were they called?
Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros.
Yeah, Mescaleros.
Mescaleros, yeah. Like yeah.
But,
man,
yeah.
Why didn't I go see him?
What yeah, man. Yeah,
but you just don't know, do you?
Yeah, I'd go see Chemical Brothers or something.
Which would have been wicked.
Yeah, would have been good.
Damn it. I think he died not too long after that as well. It's like, what a dumb move.
Yeah, man. We've definitely, you know, lived a pretty charmed existence, you know. Yeah. I was thinking about it. So.
Oh, I was wondering about when that, when was it Elastica's, they had a rack thing in there on the plane and it fell on your head. On a Big Day Out flight, like your bands have filled up this thing and Elastica had that had a single rack thing in there.
No, it was mine.
Oh, was it yours?
No, and Elastica was sitting in front and they opened it and it hit me on the head and they all laughed and I had to go to hospital when we landed in Perth.
Yeah, it dinged his head, like he was bleeding.
And the rest is history.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, he came to his senses.
Rad. And John, I probably asked you this before, but do you have, like, Big Day Out, She Had performances? Well, this is a collective question for all of you. Do you have a one that particularly stands out as, like, your top She Had at the Big Day Out, most favourite is Big Day Out?
I mean, there's a clip on YouTube which I saw recently where it was, like, I think we're playing Pacifier and it's shot from right at the back of the stadium and it's like the whole arena is moving. Yeah. Like,
when that album had just come out the General Electric had just come out. Sorry. Yeah. I remember I have memories of being incredibly baked and watching you guys like scorching hot day and just going wow like that feeling of your clothes kind of like being so loud your clothes you know against
a fluttering
I reckon the 95 Big Day Out where we filmed the Bitter video and it was the video so that was Killjoy era I think or pre-Killjoy era and I think that was the one that Ministry Paul Barker from Ministry watching the whole thing. And your guitar bit broke. You lost a saddle or something on your guitar?
Yeah, and he brought it up to me afterwards. the dude from Ministry who we loved.
We idolised Ministry. We thought they were the best band.
And he sent us Christmas cards.
And then, the bass player was a big fan of our first record, which was
we got to meet
Al Jorgensen and Courtney Love, because they were both hitting it hard backstage.
Wow. All right. She had the final tour, Loud Forever, 1988 to 2025. She had deciding to call time.
Yeah, man.
And a bunch of shows. Head to, is shehad.com still down or is it up? It's getting a lot of traffic.
So basically, it got smashed this
people
morning.
People were buying too many tickets.
I just checked it just then. Yeah. So Tom's not, he's on the, they're trying to get it.
Get the website up.
Tom's flying back to Perth to fix the internet.
It's just been overloaded with all the requests.
So I think they'll have it up by, at the latest, 3 p.m. NZ time today.
Okay. Just to run everyone through the shows, we got Sunday the 29th of December, she had New Plymouth at Rock the Bowl. Saturday the 4th of January, you're down at Rhythm and Alps in Wanaka. Yeah. Friday the 31st of Jan, Hawke's Bay, Black Barn, great spot for it. Friday the 7th of Feb, you're down in Nelson at the Trafalgar. Saturday the 8th of Feb, Coromandel Kickdown. And here we get closer towards the very last shows. We've got Saturday the 1st of March down at Christchurch in the Red Zone. Friday the 14th of March at Spark Arena in Auckland. And then last show to wind things up, 15th of March, Wellington Homegrown.
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
Shehad.com for tickets?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Rad. And you guys are going to come and do a live session at BFM just before you go?
Yeah, I reckon.
Okay.
Sure.
I reckon. To put Queer in the lounge. I'm old keen. School. Yeah. Okay.
I'd be keen.
Yeah. And I mean, thanks so much to BFM and the University Radio Network, you know, from its humble beginnings years and years, for being the, you know, supporting us.
You guys were the first so dudes much. That played us.
Yeah, yep. BFM was a huge supporter. I remember the first time I ever came in here being a little
tyke.
Feeling like it was a big room.
And it still looks exactly the same.
Just as new. Blinking stickers. You know, it's great.
Now, what did we decide on? We're going to play Screwtop?
Yeah, play Screwtop then.
Okay, Screwtop.
Keep it old. Keep it classic.
All right, cheers, team.
Thank you. Thank you.